You're listening to the Wave Express podcast, delivering everything you need to know to stay safe and profitable out on the road.
Jody Fino, good morning. We are talking to one of our top drivers this morning from, at this time, from the multi-haul division. But your history goes way back before that, Jody. So what I'd like to do is, for the sake of the listener, begin talking about who Jody Fino is and how you got into the trade and what your journey's been like. So with that laid down, when did you come into this thing?
I came into it back in 2009.
Wow. You've been with the trade since 2009?
Yes.
And where did you start in 2009?
I started in Horizon Transport,
okay,
our sister company. And I loved it from the beginning because I've talked to a bunch of drivers out on the road. While I was in the big truck, I was, you know, running 18-wheeler. And
we're talking pre-09, you were in the big truck.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
And they praised the business. So I said, well, let me try it. Yeah, I already had a dually. So I said, well, let me apply. And I applied and I've been here ever since.
How long were you with Horizon?
Almost 2 years.
Okay. So roughly 2011?
Yeah.
09 to 11. And you came to Wave from there?
No, I went to Bennett after that.
Okay.
And their freight was a little slow. So then I went to Dynamic for a little while. And then I went to CWRV. That's what I was trying to think of.
And what year was it when you came to Wave?
18?
Okay.
I think it was 18.
Close enough.
Yeah,
late teens.
Whenever CW closed up,
you came over to Wave.
Came over
after
to
that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been with a variety of carriers at this point, which is great because that gives you perspective that not everyone has.
Right.
And I'll tell you one of the things I mean about that, Jody, is sometimes when you've been with the same brand for a long time, you tend to think that everything you like or don't like about the trade is unique to that brand or that company.
Right.
I'm curious to know your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm not, let's see, how am I going to put this? I don't like change.
Right.
I like, if I learn the company the way it operates, I want to stay there.
Makes sense.
So this company's treated me excellent. So I cannot complain anything about this, but I love it.
Well, I appreciate that. And we know we're far from perfect, Jody, so I'm not looking for, you know, like a pat on the back or anything for
right.
Wave. And if we get one, great. If we don't, that's not the goal of my question. The objective really is to talk about sometimes we'll have really great talent in our fleet, but they get a little weary of the stuff they don't like about the work they're doing, right? Like for instance, dealers have inflexible delivery hours or, you know, you don't like the hours of service rules or something. And sometimes in a guy's gal's mind, they'll pin that dislike on the company they're with, when in fact it is a feature of the trade regardless of which company you're with. And so that's kind of the nature of the question I was asking.
Yeah,
kind of observed that, like, there's some commonality from company to company and the same kind of downsides exist there and some of the same upsides also exist from company to company?
Right. I don't really have any complaints about anything. I mean, I'm drawing a blank.
That's no problem.
Appointment times for some dealers is kind of ridiculous, but the dealer that requires appointments, I can understand why, because their lots are so small.
Sure. And so the question I was asking is that dealer's inflexible requirements are going to be the same for Bennett as they were for Horizon, as they were for Wave. And what I've experienced over the years is sometimes a driver who's been with us for a while will think that that gripe is unique to Wave Express, or it's unique to Horizon or Bennett or,
no,
you know,
it's
Dynamic.
For
and it really isn't. It's not unique to the carrier you're with. It's part of the landscape.
Right.
And so what the reason I'm asking that question is I want to encourage drivers with any company, but especially with ours, that be mindful, you know, of exactly what it is you're enjoying or not enjoying about the experience. I don't want people making a decision for the wrong reason, decision to stay or leave, right? So if the grass looks greener, ask yourself, is the grass looking greener? Because I don't think that dealer is going to have that same, you know, rough schedule if I'm with Bennett or versus Wave. The fact is that will be that dealer's policy no matter which carrier is bringing freight.
You're right.
And so that's the encouragement I give to existing drivers who might be listening to this podcast. One of the best advice I ever got about choosing which company you're going to be with goes like this. You don't choose to stay or leave with a company on a slushy, nasty, windy day when the dispatch didn't take care of you the way you wanted them to and things just aren't going real well. That's not the day you make that decision. The best time to make the decision is over a period of months when you've had good and bad days and are the good outweighing the bad, right? And so when you allow yourself to take that fuller, broad view of the experience you're having, make a decision based on that, you're going to make a much better decision.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have, no matter where you go in this business, you're going to have to take the good with the bad. I mean, it's not always going to be peaches and cream out there. You're going to run into problems. You deal with it and go on. You got to keep hammering on it.
Jody, what got you interested in this trade? I thought I heard you say that you were referred by some existing contractors back in 2009.
There was a few drivers.
What attracted you?
A few drivers. I seen them going down the highway, and I'm looking. I said, boy, that'd be interesting to do that. Haul campers. I said, well, let me check into it. So I started talking to a bunch of drivers, you know, here, there, at truck stops and everything, and they said they love it. And I said, I'm getting tired of the big truck, driving 48 states and all that, you know, and somebody telling me I have to be there at this time, and, you know, and if you don't make it, you're dirt under their feet. You know, they treat you bad in the big truck business.
What kind of freight were you hauling with the big truck?
Groceries.
Okay, perishable.
Yeah.
Okay. Like produce.
The warehouses treat you like garbage, and I got tired of it. So I wanted something else to do to make decent money. So that's when I started talking to drivers. And they told me, give it a shot. See if you like it.
So when you made the decision to enter the RV transport trade, you probably went shopping for a truck.
No, I already had the dually because I lived in a fifth wheel back then. So I needed
okay,
a truck
so you
to
were an
it.
RVer yourself.
Right.
You had a diesel dually.
Right.
Yeah, I believe you told me it was an 07 Chevy.
Yep, sir.
Dually, Duramax.
That's right.
And how did that experience go?
I loved it. I loved the lifestyle. Living in an RV, there ain't nothing better. I mean, if you get tired of one spot, you move to another. And
we have people that are doing that. And you know, I've heard that story, and it is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You're a little bit nomadic, but not totally. You know, you're kind of grounded. You have your base of operations. That does actually sound like a very enjoyable way to live. Now, when I asked you about your experience, I was actually referring specifically to the 07 Chevy. How did it go with that equipment?
It done the job. I mean, it was pretty dependable. I've had minor issues with it, and I kept it a couple years, and I decided to make the change. I said, let me try another truck. So I traded it in on a Dodge.
Just out of curiosity, how many miles did that Chevy have when you traded it in?
Around 400,000.
Okay, so 400 miles you traded in on a fresher Dodge?
Yeah, I bought a, 2015 Ram 4500.
Oh, you went with the medium duty.
Yeah, and that was a good truck. It'd pull anything. I mean, park models, everything.
I'll bet it would. What kind of fuel economy did you get with that?
That was the issue on that truck because it had a 410 rear end,
okay.
And it didn't. I got maybe 14 empty and 7-8 driving it.
That's
it would haul
rough.
A load.
Yep.
I couldn't absorb that, so I I kept that a couple years, and then I traded it in on another one.
So, Jody, you were in the 15 Dodge for a while, the medium-duty truck, which was right. eating you out of house and home for fuel economy. Would have been better probably for a flatbed operator.
Yeah.
Then you went from that into another Dodge?
I went into a 2012. It okay. was a single-cab Dodge with okay. a flatbed. And that truck, it had a 342 rear end. And pulling the load, even a park model, I was getting like 17 with it.
Loaded?
Loaded. And it was doing 20, 26 to 28 empty. And that's at highway speeds, too. You know, like out west was 75 mile an hour. That's what I was doing with that truck. But it was hard to sleep in a single cab. And that's what hurt that truck. So I gave that truck to my wife at the time and bought another one, which was a 17 Ram 3500. It was a four-door, mm-hmm. and that was one of the best trucks I ever owned.
How many miles did you put on that 17?
When I gave it to my wife, it had 500,000 on it, and she drove it hauling RVs too, and it's right now it's got 800,000 on it.
Pulling strong?
Well, the guy that bought it from me, we finally sold it, and he bought it from me, and he's just local.
Okay, so it retired.
Every day, yeah, it retired.
But, I mean, better part of a million miles, though, 800,000 miles. Oh, yeah. That's no joke.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Now, I understand that from what you've alluded to here, you've been working with someone else in this trade.
Yeah.
And can you tell us how that came about? So not everybody does that. A lot of people get into this solo operators, and that's how they work it the whole time, you know, that they're in it. It's one person, one truck. You're a little different than that.
Yeah, my wife, she rode with me when, and she liked it. She was a nurse. And she loved what I did and loved to travel. So I said, well, okay, you want to get into it? Let's go talk to Wave and see if we can get you on. Of course, she had experience, bus driver, city bus driver.
Oh, what city?
Gainesville, Florida.
Okay.
And that's not an easy task in that city.
I believe it.
So, but Mike hired her on, Mike Miles, he hired her on, and she's still going strong. Now she's in the
what year was that she joined?
2020?
Okay. I think it was 20. Yeah, roughly. Right. We're not trying to pin you down to it. It's not a pop quiz. Roughly 2020, Julie came on board with you. Now, she had been a passenger observing you. And then she said, hey, I think I'd like to do this too.
Well, I put her to the test now. That when she rode with me, she said, I want to learn how to do this. Okay. Here's a truck. Back it up to the trailer. You hook it up, and I'll tell you what you're doing wrong. Because she watched me.
Mm-hmm.
And I made her do it. Did it perfect.
I said,
well, you passed the test.
Good job, Julie.
Yeah. So here she is. Still here.
And that was roughly 2020. We're in almost 2025 now. Yeah. Do you know how many miles she's done since then, roughly?
Her safety miles are 250,000.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, talk to me, Jody, about the experience, because, again, not everybody goes into this with a partner. Like, a lot of people are out there solo. How's that been, having somebody to work with? And I know you're not in the same truck. You're in two different trucks.
Right.
So you're not teaming, per se. Like, you know, when people think of team driving, they think of two drivers, one truck. You're two drivers, two trucks.
Right. It's been wonderful. I mean, we get to travel together, and, you know, she makes her money, I make my money. It all goes in one account anyway, but it's fun. It's you don't get lonely out there with a partner, you know. Maybe you do if she goes a different way and I go this way, she goes that way. But other than that, I mean, it's been a lot of fun.
Trips like that just make the heart grow fonder, though, right?
Well, you got that right.
I'll bet. Well, that's really cool. And so, as somebody with on-road experience as well, speaking of myself, I have done it both solo, and I've done it with family members like brother, father, wife, like you're describing. And I totally get what you're saying about the loneliness thing. I mean, solitude is nice, you know, to have some of that experience, but it's also nice to have a team, and there is strength when you layer, you know, more than one individual involved in a, let's say, the household or whatever, or the convoy, however you want to describe it. There's strength built into that. For example, my experience running with my brother, right? Like if we're together out at the same place, same time, and we want a hotel room, we're going to split it. Right. You know, so an $80 hotel room becomes a $40 expense per driver.
Right.
And, you know, as long as you're comfortable, you know, sheltering with the other individual, it works out economically pretty well. And that's just one of 100 things that come to mind in terms of the strength that I'm talking about when you're working with another individual out on the road. You have somebody, if I can recall a time when I was following my wife, who was in a multi-haul unit, which we're going to talk about with you in just a minute. But I was able to see that there was something wrong with the trailer number two that she was pulling. It was on the ground. It was kind of cockeyed behind her haul and tow truck. So, you know, I called her and we pulled into a rest area. And sure enough, there was a bolt missing on one of the springs. And, you know, we were able to take care of that. She would have never known. She would have probably pulled that thing till it broke.
Yeah.
Had there not been an advocate following directly behind her who could alert her to that problem. Because you would not see that from the cab.
Yeah, safety in numbers.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Thank you. That's an excellent way to say it. It's safety in numbers, strength in numbers, less loneliness in numbers, whether it be a spouse like what you've got or just a good friend, family member, whatever. I always encourage people to give that a try because their safety, their strength, there's just good things come from when you have an advocate running along with you out there on the road. Yeah. I see guys sometimes, Jody, you probably do too, different companies. We'll have an Indiana transport truck, and then we'll have a Wave truck or whatever combination, and they just happen to know each other. They're with different companies. They're just going down the same route and happen to run all or a portion of the trip together. I call that smart.
Yeah.
I call that collaboration in a live environment that helps everybody involved.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's people you make friends with out there on the road. It's like a buddy of mine, Mickey, he drives for Heil Express. Or Heil Transport, and he's based out of Florida. I've worked with him before at the same company, hauling groceries for Walmart, and we meet up every now and then. We ran together just the other day, and it brings back a lot of memories and fun times and, you know, chit-chat back and forth on the radio.
That's cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Were your produce loads refrigerated?
Yeah.
Or do you you miss having a fool with that?
No, I don't miss it at all.
I bet you don't miss the sound it makes either.
No, the unit will put you to sleep.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You get used to the unit running back there. It's like, bring this up. One time I hauled a load of ice cream. And that's that. When you set the unit on an ice cream load, it's continuous. Mm-hmm. You got to have it set at minus 20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one night I was asleep, and no sooner that unit shut off, I woke up, because it woke me up. I said, something wrong. That unit ain't supposed to shut off. It's a good thing I got up, because the front part of the unit, all the belts and everything came off of it, and I got limited about time to go get that fixed before I lose that load of ice cream. So, yeah, it's something else.
Extra complication.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So, Jody, you kind of graduated from pulling single units for us to entering into the multi-haul realm.
Right.
Can you talk to us a little bit about what that experience has been like, what motivated you to do that, and kind of what that journey's been like for you?
Well, I've talked to a lot of the drivers, a lot of multi-haul drivers that haul the trailers, and that's the 53-foot trailer is what I'm talking about. And I just, for what they pay for the multi-haul versus the haul and tow, which there's a little difference, but more maintenance, more insurance, it kind of pushed me toward the haul and tow. And I'll tell you, be honest with you, I wish I'd done it 10 years ago. I love it.
Jody, thank you for saying that. And I want to jump on that comment real fast, because one, I love that you said that. One of the reasons I love that you said that is, over my decades long experience in this trade, I've been asked many times, Joe, is this a good time to get into flatbed or to get into multi-haul? And every time I'm asked that question, I answer it the same. There's never a bad time to get into that.
Exactly.
And I think that's what you're telling me now.
Yep.
You'd done it 10 years ago.
I wish I'd done it 10 years ago.
What kind of equipment are you running right now?
I have a 2016 Kenworth T680, and it's got a 23-foot ship-sheet bed on the back of it.
I am really interested in learning, Jody, if you don't mind sharing, what kind of fuel economy you're getting with that rig.
Loaded, and this is with a 21-foot on the bed and a 29-foot pulling. I was getting, 10.6 loaded, and empty, I can average, if the wind is in my favor, around 14.
What if it's not in your favor?
It'll be 12.
Okay, 11, so 12 to 14 empty.
Yeah.
Those are actually really good numbers, Jody. I mean, that's kind of the ideal piece, if I'm honest, in haul and tow. Those are, I don't know how to beat those numbers. With equipment that's as sturdy as yours is.
Well, you got to have for the fuel economy, you want a lower, let's see if I put this right.
No, I know what you're saying, like a 2.7 to 1 final drive ratio versus like a 3.7 to 1.
The rear end of my truck is a 321.
Okay.
Which, it's good for pulling, and it's also good for fuel economy. Now, the better way to go would be, like the DD15 engine, 12-speed automatic with the 264 rear end, then you're going to be a little higher in fuel mileage than I will be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But other than that, yeah. I mean,
the taller that final drive,
right?
Yeah, the better, for because our trucks, they don't work real hard.
No,
I mean, our freight is not like an 80,000-pound rig.
No, my truck's 22,000, so I may gross 39 maybe with a big one behind me.
Fully loaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's idling.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't need the lower gear, the right grunt, to pull that heavy weight up hills and stuff.
Right.
Cool. So that is what you're running. And I understand that you're still working with your wife as a pair of trucks.
Right.
What's she running?
She's got an 07 International 4300. It's got the DT466 engine in it.
Good engine.
And automatic, Allison automatic.
Mm-hmm. Real nice. How's that going for her?
It's going well. The truck has 950,000 miles on it. And, of course, it's a new motor in it. But it's a dragonfly truck. I mean, it'll drag its butt going up a hill and then fly down the other side. But it gets the job done, and it's good to her.
I've actually run equipment like that, and I agree with you. It's not the strongest motor.
Right.
But it's a quick in-frame overhaul when that time comes. And the fact that you have 950,000 miles on the truck doesn't surprise me at all. You'll do another 950 if you want to.
Well, keep it fresh. We're going to try it.
Yeah, cool. Listen, I've really enjoyed talking with you, Jody. It's always nice to have someone in this podcast who's got the experience that you have. And we've gone from your entry into the single pole coming out of Big Truck World, what was attractive about that. We've talked about the various equipment that you've had, and the fact that you've evolved from that into the multi-haul. And I actually have another category that I put you in, and that category is small fleet owner.
Yeah.
Because you're owning more than just the truck that you're personally driving.
Right. Well, we got the two haul and tows, and then we got two new dualies out there too.
Two 1-ton Dodges?
Right.
And how's that experience going for you?
They're doing really well. They got into the multi-haul with the trailers, and they're liking it, and they're doing really good with it.
So here's what I love. Instead of selling off your single pole trucks, you basically put them on our hotshot trailers.
Right.
Right. And I think that's what you've done. I know that, well, one of them's doing that.
What they're both doing is they're taking over the trucks. I still own them, mm-hmm. but they're their own owner operators.
Mm-hmm.
So, when their trucks are paid for, I signed a title to them. That's the way I work that deal out.
Yep. That's an excellent way to go. Earn out, I call it.
They take all the maintenance. They do all the maintenance themselves or get it done or whatever breaks on it. As long as they keep the truck up.
Truck will literally pay for itself.
Exactly.
Cool. Man, I've really enjoyed this conversation, Jody. I want to give you an opportunity before we wrap it up. Bits of advice, like the top one, two, or three pieces of advice that you would give to somebody who's new in this or somebody who's thinking about getting into this. Anything come to mind along those lines, like lessons you learned early on, things to avoid, whatever you have to offer to us?
Well, best thing I could tell you is the grass ain't always greener on the other side of the fence. If you sign on with this company, stick it out. Take the good with the bad. There's going to be bad times. There's going to be breakdowns, whatever. Just get through it and keep moving. I don't know what else to say besides.
You know what I love about that advice, Jody, is there's something you said that I think is really wise. These are trucks. They're going to break down.
Yeah.
That is not a question.
There's
that
no
is a
doubt.
Fact. That day's coming.
If and when.
Prepare.
That's right.
I like to use the terminology war chest. When cash on hand, right? That's what I call the war chest. So when that day comes, when you're driving along and it pops, surprise, today's the day. You've got cash. You've got options.
Well, a lot of the drivers, I can see they're making good money, okay? What they do, they go home and spend it. Don't do that. That's the worst thing you can do. You got to prepare for that rainy day. So what I do is take, after all expenses, I put 10 to 25% to a side. That's your rainy day money.
You fill that war chest.
Oh, yep.
So one thing I love about what you said there was guys take the money, go home and spend it. They can do that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Once a war chest is full.
Right.
What you're saying is you've seen guys do that too soon in the process. Because everybody should be entitled to have that fun. You know, you got some profit, do what you want to do with that money, right? But don't do it. Don't do that before you're prepared for that truck to bust.
Exactly. So right now on my Kenworth, I'm putting money back because I know maybe this year coming, might be the next year, I'm going to need a motor because my truck's got 1,094,000 miles on it. And I'm preparing to get ready to rebuild that motor. So put your money back. Save it because you never know when it's going to storm.
I love it. Jody, your words of wisdom are so much appreciated, and thank you for your time this morning. It's been excellent.
I enjoyed it.
Really appreciate you, and looking forward to getting this recording out on our podcast, and you'll be able to listen to it, and hope everybody else does too, sir.
Cool. Sounds good.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Joe.